All right, Journey. Well, we are home. Why don't you just give God a hand? That's absolutely amazing. I do want to just kind of share a little bit of the story. It's truly something, you know, I read years ago that you should attempt things that if God doesn't step into it, you'll fail. And I would say this is one of those things. And he stepped in, and we walked by faith, and here we are. It really is remarkable. I'm going to show a little slideshow. I'm not going to talk about the slides per se. It's just going to have some pictures from the construction phase, and you can kind of just see some of that as I share a little bit of the story. So I won't be directly referring to specific pictures, but I just want to tell you a little bit of the story. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Some of you have been with us from the very beginning. And my wife and I, and actually, would you give Deli a hand? She's been with us through the whole thing here. Because I could pretty much guarantee if I had not married Deli, I probably would not be in Fairbanks, Alaska. I pretty much guarantee that. But I love it, and I think God works those things out, and she has been a trooper, amazing through all of this. But just, you know, we're in Indianapolis, Indiana, felt called by God to plant a church, and the debate for us was where. And so I spent 30 days in fasting, no solid food, which is no easy feat for me. And when I came out of that, because I was praying about Seattle and Portland and Fairbanks, and just came out of that feeling like God wanted us to come to Fairbanks, and that was very clear. Like many of you, I don't always agree with God, and so I have actually fasted another 30 days, no solid food, because I wanted a different answer, and I'd heard about the darkness, and I'd heard about the 50 below, and those kind of things, into the road, and so God was clear again, and so we came, and God knows better than I do. I love it, and I don't ever want to leave Fairbanks. I plan on dying here, just not soon, so... but anyway, and so we felt called to come here about 13 years ago. We arrived, and we spent about a year kind of ramp up, and then 12 years in the movie theater. And those of you that have helped with that, I mean, you have to drive a box truck. It was next to our mobile home there in the early days, and you know, just those moments where it's 50 below, and I would drive it to the gas station, and you know, I'm an obedient kind of guy, I follow rules, and on the gas, you know, pump, it says to turn it off while you pump, and so I turn off the truck, and it you know, takes, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to fill up the tank, and at 50 below, the truck won't start again, and so I'm blocking like six pumps with the Journey truck, and we were kind of a non-instrumental, no communion stuff, no stands that Sunday because the truck didn't make it. And so we had moments like that that were kind of interesting, hauling everything in and out of the movie theater in the summer, no big deal. 50 below, it was not as pleasant. One of the rite of passages that many of you did, you know those big metal poles out in front of Regal, we would hang a banner on that every single week, and you kind of had to hug the metal pole to hang the banner, and at 40, 50 below, that will wake you up. That was like the Journey wake up, and so it was a challenge, but it was good. They were good to us, and it was a good place to be. Several years ago, and I don't remember exactly when, but we began to look for a piece of property, and God graciously led us to this place. It was on our list. We looked at about 40 pieces of property. This one, I believe, was priced at $2.1 million at the beginning. We didn't have $2.1 million, and we kept it on the list, and we prayed a lot, and the price dramatically at one point dropped from $2.1 million, and it ended up going all the way down to $500,000. And so we felt like God gave us the land for that $500,000. And so then we began to work, and what you see behind me was going on. And so a lot of volunteer hours, and why don't we give a hand to all those that volunteered on the building project. absolutely amazing how many hours, and kind of leading that way with number of hours would be definitely Dave and Chris Goff. Give them a hand. I mean, he was our contractor. Unbelievable. And so Dave ran this job and is still running this job as we finish up, get the last pieces done. And he's a volunteer. A lot of people don't realize that. We definitely had some paid people. We definitely had a lot of subcontractors. But there was a lot of volunteer hours in this particular place. And it's really amazing. I'm told that it's all valued with the land and the building about $5 million. We borrowed $2 million to do it. So I take that as God acting. And most of us would be quite excited if, you know, we bought a $5 million thing and only borrowed two to do it. And so, you know, you look at your mortgage. And so we're very pleased by that and feel like God has been amazing. We have had our people sacrifice time, prayer, financial giving, leaders who gave, you know, 30% of their income for stretches, long stretches of time. We had people who literally sold new vehicles and gave the money to the building fund. We had people who flew, paid their own way, flew up from the lower 48, you're going to meet some of those, and worked for like a week or 10 days for us and just put in lots of time. It's just absolutely incredible how God did it. Two different times I had somebody, the first time I had a gentleman, say to me, "Hey, I'd like to meet at your office and just talk to you a little bit." And he had some questions about the church and our dreams and what God was calling us to. And at the end, it was kind of funny. He goes, "I think I'll help you with that." And I think it was a week later in the mail from this gentleman, a $100,000 check came. Now, he didn't even go to our church. And so we've had that happen twice. So if you ask to see me at my office, I have high expectations. I'm just warning you that. I mean, we've had some amazing things, just absolutely incredible, just stuff like the panels that you saw behind me that make up the frame of this building. We got those for $185,000, and it was kind of amazing. A guy in Indianapolis, an older man in a nursing home, mailed like three or four crumpled up dollar bills, and I just asked the church, I said, "Look, I felt like it was like the widow's mite from the scripture where he just gave all he could. He's never going to get to come and visit us because of his health." And I said, "What can we do?" And our church came up with that $185,000 in about 6 weeks and, you know, paid off those panels. And it's just been one amazing act of God after another. It's been a remarkable story. It's been an encouraging story. And I'm just glad that you all have gotten to be a part of it at different levels, even if you're just joining us today as we kind of head into our new phase. And we're going to be celebrating all month, but it is exciting to have a home. And we acknowledge this is not our final home. Obviously, that is heaven. But we have a base of operations. We have a home here in Fairbanks. We're not a church that puts up a banner for 4 hours on Sunday morning and then takes it down and then, you know, has small groups throughout the city in different homes and different locations. We'll still do a lot of that, but we have a permanent presence that people can see and find and can easily come to. And we just are excited. It's an incredible, amazing moment, and I hope you're enjoying it and thrilled by it. And I just got to say, both to Dave Goff and really all those that worked on it, it is a beautiful building, isn't it? I mean, have you walked through? So it's incredible. It really is. And if you want a tour afterwards, see some of the other leaders, and we're happy to walk you through the place and just talk about different parts of it and what we're hoping to do and kind of some of what's going on. So it really is beautiful. In the summer, you'll be amazed. I mean, there's a little pond right here. I mean, it literally looks like a park. I had somebody the other day say, "Oh, you're the church that bought the park." And I said, "No, it didn't look like a park when we got it, but it does now. It's beautiful." And so just a great job to all those who have worked on that. Now, obviously, the building is not the church. We are the church. You are the church. And we celebrate that. It's the people. You know, our mission here at Journey is to connect people to Jesus Christ and to each other. And we are not a business that has a product to sell. We're not a nonprofit or a charity that has just a program that we offer. What we are about is we offer people the person of Jesus Christ. We believe, that's what we offer. The person of Jesus Christ, we believe that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies that talk about him. We believe he was born of a virgin. We believe he lived a sinless life, that he took that sinless life, he offered it on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free. And he predicted his own death, and he predicted his own resurrection. He's the one person in the history of the world to do that and to, on the third day, walk out of his own grave. That's what we offer people, the person of Jesus Christ. And that is enough. That is enough. That's what we offer. And we do it in different ways, and there are different faces to it. But understand, that's the heart of who we are, to connect people to Jesus Christ and to each other. Now, we believe that knowing him, that's how we're changed. That's how we become new people. And that's what we're about as people. I believe our slide ended with, there's some people at the end, I thought. But that's what we're about. People's lives who are changed. People who, their marriages were a wreck, and through the gospel, there has been some reconciliation and progress and change. People whose finances are destroyed, and through following biblical principles, there is a change there. People who come and they are mired in an addiction, and in Christ they can find freedom and hope. And so it really is pretty incredible. Now, I do want you to give a glimpse this month. We're going to have different visitors, really, every Sunday, of some folks that have come alongside of us and helped us. And I do want to two guys to step up. They're from Chapel Rock Christian Church, Rick and Ned. Why don't you give them a hand? We just appreciate them coming. From the same church are my parents, Dean and Janet Dickinson. They're sitting down here. They can raise their hands. So. And believe me, if I hadn't learned perseverance from them, we would not be here. So they have been huge supporters. But Chapel Rock, just so you know, these guys. Now Ned here on the right here, he was actually one of my sponsors when I was a teenager, but he's not to tell stories, so don't ask about those. But I grew up at Chapel Rock. It's in Indianapolis, Indiana. They helped me with my seminary education. They ordained me into the Christian ministry. They have given generously to Journey. I don't know a final total. It's got to be over $100,000. I mean, it's unbelievable how much they gave over the years, how much they have done. They had a party for our nursery, and so our initial nursery equipment, all of that, they bought that and had it all shipped to us. It was pretty amazing. They have sent, I think, 7 different mission teams have come up over the years and worked with us. I always think of Chapel Rock when I look at the ceiling, because these boards, all those boards, they polyurethaned every one of those. And so that was volunteers who paid their own way and came up and spent a week or 10 days with us. They gave the money for this pulpit. I mean, they just have been incredibly generous and gracious to us. And so I just wanted them to come up, to kind of celebrate with us. I think they're going to share just a little bit and then pray for us as a congregation. So Ned and Rick, so I just appreciate you guys. So I'll turn it over to them. Okay.
Some of you have spoken in front of people, and you've had people speak in front of you, ahead of you, and you realize they've taken everything you're going to say. And so everything I was going to say is pretty much been said already this morning. So I want to do one thing if I can, if it's okay. I want to take one of the panoramic pictures. And in doing that, I'll be able to sort of, just like I'm sending greetings from your brothers and sisters at Chapel Rock Christian Church on the west side of Indianapolis. And then I will take this picture and show that to everybody, saying, this is Journey Christian Church greeting us back. So if you wouldn't mind me just do that, or you can just sit. If you don't want to be in my Facebook page, like cover your face or something, I don't know. So give me a second.
All right.
So. So what I want to just briefly say, and again, everything I was going to say has been taken, so I'll just kind of emphasize one idea, is actually from Jeremiah. Let me find this real quick here so I have it. And it's a verse that most of us have heard, but it fits your history so well, with what was talked about with the pictures and so forth. It just fits that history. Some of you were here when they first started thinking about this property, and you were there before that too. And so let me just read this. It says, this is for Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And so if you think about 5 or 6 years ago, thinking about this property and all the things God has done since then in that short time period, and what's more amazing is that this last line, plans to give you hope and a future. The same kind of God that we have already is going to be doing that exact same thing as long as he wants us to be on this earth. That's going to happen here at Journey Christian Church. And so be a part of that and be part of the church. Be part of a church that's a verb. A church does things. It's part of God's plan. It's not a church that comes and meets and just says, oh, this is a neat place, which it is. But it's a place, it's a group of people that go out and do something. And for God's kingdom. So, all right.
I'll dovetail on with what Rick said and then lead us in prayer. Derek mentioned that my wife and I were some of his youth sponsors when he was young, and he has told me not to say any stories. So I won't say any stories, but we thanked Deli earlier, or he did. Deli's done a lot for this guy. I'll just leave it at that, okay? You've done a lot for this guy. And you can see me afterwards, and I'll share some stories. I'm going to give a little object lesson that'll tie in with what Rick said. I've got in my hand a paper clip, and paper clips are pretty common things. If you went to a desk in Washington, D.C., you'd find paper clips. If you went to the construction desk back here, you'd probably find paper clips. You literally find paper clips everywhere. And as followers of Christ, we're his paper clips. He's going to have his people at every level of society doing his work. Now, paper clips are designed to hold things together. That was their intent and purpose. As followers of Christ, we hold things together at all levels of society and in his kingdom. And how many of you, when you needed a piece of wire or something for a special little task, took a paper clip and bent it into some other shape and used it to hang something or to poke into something or something that it really wasn't designed to do? We've all done that. And as followers of Christ, he's going to do that with you if you let him. You might say, I can't do that. I wasn't designed for that. But he'll bend you if you're flexible enough with him, and he'll use you for that. And as a church here in Fairbanks, you need to be paperclips in this area, in this part of his kingdom. You need to be the ones that are holding this community together at all levels. And you need to be the ones that are flexible if he needs something special done, or if somebody in Fairbanks thinks we need something done, maybe Journey can help us with that. You need to be that church. That's what he's called us to do in whatever part of the kingdom that we're in. So let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kingdom, for the place that you've given us in your kingdom, in the different places that your kingdom is in. Help us to be followers of you, to be salt, to be light, to be paperclips, to be used by you. Thank you for all your blessings that you've given to Journey Christian Church and the things that you'll be doing with Journey in the future. In Christ's name, amen.